You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you're ready, say amen. If you need more time, say I never read my Bible. Everybody's there so quick. Awesome. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Or another translation says the new is here. If anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. The title of this message tonight is The DNA of Heaven. Let's pray. So, Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. And, Lord, we elevate you, God, to the highest authority. Lord, we declare that your word is the highest authority. So tonight, Lord, we submit to your word. I thank you, your word is alive, it's true. And Father, we declare that the name of Jesus is the highest authority in our lives. So Jesus, we ask you to speak to us. Father, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what you're saying. God, I ask you to replace my words with yours. Father, let this message, God, be prophetic that actually changes the DNA of your people. Jesus be made famous in this place tonight. And everybody who loves Jesus said amen and amen. I love this scripture. If anyone's in Christ, you're a new creation. And it's been rolling around in me for a while now. And I'm excited to minister tonight because I've never preached this ever before in my life. But in October of last year, so a year and month ago, I was in Texas and I was on a prayer walk and the Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, 2014 is a year of righteousness. Now, if you don't already do this, I want to encourage you to start doing right now at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 years old. Begin to ask God right now what 2015 is all about. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do in 2015? What do you have for me? What's your plan? What's this year about for me? And I learned how to start doing that. I started when I was 18. And what would happen is God would speak to me. And what he talked to me about or what he told me I would see happen in my life. It's the coolest thing. So in 2014, he said it's the year of righteousness. So I began to study righteousness. And what I found was this, is that there are over 1,000 scriptures in the Bible on righteousness. I mean, righteousness is everywhere, from the beginning to the end. And scriptures that we're very, very familiar with, scriptures like the righteous are bold as a lion, or the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. About Psalms 23 is famous Psalms. He leads us on paths of righteousness. The Bible says the righteous walk by faith. So it has to do with faith. We wear the breastplate of righteousness. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I mean, it is absolutely everywhere in the Word of God. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the righteous. It's in that scripture too. Or how about this one? By your stripes we are healed. It says, this is for the righteous. The Bible says that God's ears are attentive to the prayers of the righteous. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, it's everywhere in the Word of God. Then I started seeing that anytime there was a righteous individual, that God did awesome stuff in their life. So if there was a man like Noah, who God used Noah to save an entire population or the entire population of the world, God chose him because he was a righteous man. Or the father of all of Israel, the father of faith, Abraham, the Bible says, was known for his righteousness. Or a woman like Esther, who was righteous in her generation, and God used her to save her people. Whenever you saw a righteous young person, you would see a demonstration of God's power. So I started saying, there's something here. So here's what I did is I took the month of January off last year, and interns, the only thing I did was study righteousness for 5 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Study righteousness. And I studied these 1,000 scriptures, and it absolutely blew my mind. Righteousness has to do with everything. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and everything else to be added. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I started reading this and I started studying this. And here's what I said. I said, Lord, how am I going to begin to explain this to people? Because it's so much.
I mean, it has to do with authority. It has to do with spiritual warfare. It has to do with guarding your heart. It has to do with the full armor of God. It has to do with every area of your life. How am I going to begin to describe righteousness? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said this phrase, and I've never preached on it till tonight. He said this. He said, righteousness is the DNA of heaven. It's the DNA of heaven. How many watch Forensic Files or those cop shows where they do forensic works? And we love those shows. Heather and I stay up and we'll watch those shows and then we go to bed, and that's probably not a good idea. But we'll do it, and the DNA forensic detectives can find one little hair that's left by a killer or a serial killer or an arsonist or something like that, and they could have gotten away with it for 50 years, but they saved one little hair or one cigarette butt that they were smoking on or one piece of evidence, and that small piece of evidence, that DNA could link them to the crime. That DNA can prove who they are and who did the crime. It's all a part of the DNA. Do you know that heaven has a DNA? And the DNA of heaven is righteousness. I'll put it like this. The entire kingdom of God is made up of righteousness. Another way to look at it is like this. It's like the matter of heaven. I remember I was in science class in my sophomore year. And my teacher's name was Mr. Daly, and he was the craziest guy you've ever met in your entire life. And he had an itching problem, and he liked to use chalk. And so he would always have all these chalk prints all over. It was very inappropriate. It was awful. And so, but Mr. Daly, and I remember when he was teaching us about matter. And he said, matter is everything. And I'm like, Jose, how can matter be everything? How can it be everything? What do you mean that this pulpit's matter and this water bottle's matter and those lights are matter and, your skinny jeans are matter? How could everything be matter? And they explain it like this, is that matter is the substance of what everything in the universe is made up of. So everything is matter. Here's what the Lord showed me. Righteousness is the substance, the DNA of heaven, that everything in God's kingdom is made up of righteousness. So here's what the Bible says. It says, in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. This has been a great year. I think this is my 24th different message on righteousness. And the only thing I've done all year, I've traveled the world, I've preached this in Australia, I've preached it in Africa, I've preached it all over the nation. I've preached on righteousness. And here's what I noticed. I noticed a physical change. I felt different. This has been the craziest year. As I've been ministering, I've watched more healings begin to take place. I've noticed even in my own life, just finances, just walking in crazy faith and God providing supernaturally. And the Bible says that the righteous won't beg for bread. I've seen it everywhere. And all of a sudden, I started telling Heather, I noticed there's something changed in me. Something in my heart. I've been saved all my life. I gave my life to the Lord at 3 years old. I got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues for the first time at 12 years old. I remember doing it in the third story room at my dad's church. I preached my first sermon in India at 14. At 18 years old, I started youth pastoring and was ordained. I've been doing this a long time. But just this year in righteousness, something changed. I felt a physical change. I asked the Lord, I said, what am I feeling? What's going on? And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, I'm giving you my DNA. Righteousness, watch, is the DNA of God. Let's look at God's word. Genesis, go there as fast as you can. It doesn't take long. It's the first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 should be on the first page. How easy is that? Genesis chapter 1. Here's what the Bible says. It's up on the screen because Kevin is awesome. It says, so God created, easy ladies, settle down. Okay, there's only one of Kevin. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So what have we learned from Genesis chapter 1? That originally, God formed us with his DNA. We were made, Adam and Eve were made like God. And then he says he made both male and female because there's a difference and the difference is important. He made both of them in his image. Then God gave them certain commands. In Genesis chapter 2, in the next page, he told them to not touch of the tree in the Garden of Eden. He said, you are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat it, you will certainly die. He said, you can go anywhere you want. You can eat anything you want. You can hang out anywhere you want, but there's this one thing I want you to obey me with. He said, don't touch it. Then in Genesis chapter 3 is the game changer. This is where the serpent, this is where the devil, this is where Satan came in to try to deceive Adam and Eve. This is what we call the fall of man. This is the original sin. This is the first sin. This is where the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy for the first time. And look how he does it, because it's interesting. Thousands of years ago, when the devil came in and tries to deceive Adam and Eve and trick Adam and Eve, he tries to deceive them and trick them with the very same strategy he does with you. Watch what he says. Genesis chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the interns or any of the other wild animals or any of the other Christians. Look, here's what he said to him. He said, did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden? I want to let you know, this is how the devil begins to deceive and jack up your life. He does it with questioning God's word. I mean, did God really say you can't have sex before you're married? Because, you know, if you love each other and you're gonna get married, you know, you gave her a promise ring. So you're promising that one day you're gonna make a promise, but you haven't made the promise yet, but you got a ring to promise one day you're gonna make a promise. Is anyone else confused with that? Because I am. Promise rings are usually promising you're gonna break a promise, is usually what it is. So we're married in God's eyes. No, you're fooling around in God's eyes. God's eyes are his word, and he gives us his eyes through his word. So what people try to do is they try to question God's word. Did God really say, well, how come if two dudes love each other, then, you know, God's love, and he loves love, and isn't it love okay? And here's where questions start. Did God really say, and I don't think so, and how come, and do I really have to tithe, and the church just wants my money? No, that's what your dad says, and he doesn't give money to the church anyway, and God doesn't need your money. But his word says to give, teaches us to give. But this is how the enemy works. Does God really say? And Eve responds. Here's the difference between Eve and majority of Christians. Eve knew what God said, and majority of Christians don't even know what God says. Young people, it's impossible to know what God says unless you read his word. It's impossible. It's impossible to stand. This is why you have no strength in the locker room when people are intimidating you. This is why you have no strength when a bunch of bullies. I love people talking about bullying. When the greatest people group on the planet that are bullied are Christians. You want to see bully, look at someone who will stand up and do what's right. They'll stand up for purity, that will stand up and be kind, will stand up for righteousness. In fact, the Bible says, prepare yourself because you will be bullied or persecuted because of righteousness. That's the thing that God warns us we will be. So here's what he says. He said this, did God really say? She's like, yeah, God said, we must not eat from the fruit of the garden. We must not touch it or we'll die. So she repeated God's word. And look what Satan said. Look at verse 4. It's up on the screen. He says, you will not surely die, but you will be like God. This is how sin takes root in your life. You're gonna be okay. God and you have an understanding. You love God. It's okay. There's just, you know, God's gonna forgive you, and he's got forgiveness, and everything's gonna be okay. So the enemy causes you to question God's word. And then he lies about God's word. And here's what the Bible says. Look what it says. She saw the fruit was good. It was pleasing to the eye. And she ate it. When you begin to take your eyes off God,
off righteousness, off doing what's right, and your eyes are fixed on things that God said no to. Guys, the strategy of keeping your lives right is just not even looking at it. That's the strategy. Young guys, the strategy is just not looking below the neck. That's your strategy. Some of you sophomores just need to get, you know, those dog cones that they put on dogs? And you just need to walk around with a dog cone. And you can't even look down. You're at prom dancing and you can't even look down. You gotta be in religious land, Dan. No. I'm trying to help you save you. I love the story of Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph's wife had a guy he worked for named Potiphar. Potiphar's wife was hot and bothered. She's like, Joseph, come on over here. Sit by me, Joseph. Hiking things up, pulling things down. Probably dressed like Beyonce, just out of control. Just a dirty birdie. And the Bible says that she grabbed Joseph. Joseph worked for her husband. She's not even playing around anymore. She's not even flirting anymore. She says, come to bed with me. Joseph didn't think about it. Joseph didn't pray about it. Lord, what's your perfect will in this situation? I want to be a good employee. The Bible said Joseph ran, and he left his coat in her arms, got out of his coat, and took off running. That is the strategy. Can I just pastor you for a second? You want me to give you the strategy in high school? Don't even stink and date in high school. Oh, that stinks, because you've already had like 7 practice divorces and you're only a junior. Sorry to mess it up for you. I'm never gonna get divorced like my parents. Man, you've had 22 girlfriends and you're in 5th grade. And you have a beard. You're pretty much a candidate for the next Quest of the Ring when they come out with part 9. 5th grader with the beard. Just give them a bow and arrow and they're ready to tackle Narnia. Listen, we have to resist. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You have to be, listen, the enemy is smarter than you. The devil is smarter than you. Let me help you. Just don't be at their house alone. I know how it works. Y'all just, you're sitting there and then you're watching a movie on the couch and then all of a sudden you're getting sleepy. You're just getting tired. And then all of a sudden it's midnight. It's just you two just deadlocked right there. Man, your breath smells good. Like, Pastor, I didn't mean for my tongue to be in their mouth. I just woke up at 12:30 and it was there. You have to flee from this stuff. The devil's smarter than you. He's 10 steps ahead of you. Have you ever played chess with somebody or a game with somebody who's ahead of you and you can't even get back in the game? They're just kicking your butt. That's what the devil will do to us if we don't stand on God's word. So the enemy comes in and deceives them. And then all of a sudden, here's what the Bible says. Verse 7, throw it up on there. They took it, they ate it. Verse 7, so important. Look at God's word. It says their eyes open, and all of a sudden they realize they're naked. Watch this. All of a sudden, something is different. Watch. Even though nothing's changed. So they're hanging out talking with God. They talk and walk with God. This is what we lost. This. Imagine how easy it would be if you got just to sit with God and say, hey, God, is he the one? And God's like, no, he's not the one. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to pray about it.
You'd have to go on 32 dates. You just ask God. Ask God what school you're supposed to go to. Ask God what you're supposed to do in life. Just have that relationship with God. That's what Adam and Eve had. And they disobeyed God. They did what God ate. And guess what? Eating the fruit is not a big deal. How many of you have been severely punished in your life for eating the wrong fruit before?
You have? Some of the Mexican families, don't mess with grandma. Don't touch those platanitos. Don't touch them. White people only eat like apples and bananas. That's it. Like, what the heck is a papaya? What is this? How do I eat it? What am I supposed to do with it? Is it decor?
What's the big deal? They just ate a fruit. No, no, no. It's not. They didn't just eat a fruit. They disobeyed God. They disobeyed God. Can I get real? Who wants to get real tonight? You could be sinning even if you're not even doing something with your boyfriend and girlfriend, but you're just with the wrong one. Hello.
Drop the holy bomb.
Just by being with the wrong one. Well, how are you going to know what you like unless you try them all? This isn't gelato.
Can I have the sample of the chocolate and the pineapple and the coconut and the...
We'll be out getting frost with Peyton, and she'll have like 12 spoons in her mouth, just eating them all. How will I know? I don't know. Maybe God knows what you need, and he'll supply what you need. Maybe God already has, probably, maybe, just because his word says your husband already picked out, your wife already picked out, and you're delaying it by goofing off. So something changed, even though nothing changed. And all of a sudden they realized they are butt naked. I mean, this is like a bad dream. We've all had it. You're in school. You're all of a sudden, you're at ASU Stadium, stark naked. How did this happen? And you have a chicken hat on. What happened? Well, watch. Go back to Genesis 1. Go back to Genesis 1. How were we made? How were they made? How were they made? How were they made? Watch. They were made like God or righteous. And watch, when they began to sin, something changed in their DNA. And now all of a sudden, something's off, something's wrong, and watch what happened. When they were once made like God, walked and talked with God, hung out, chilled, got to go and hang out with God whenever they want, now they're hiding from God, which you can't do, by the way. But they're hiding from God because something changed in their DNA. Listen to me, young people. Sin changes your DNA. It changes your makeup. It changes your desire. Where do you think depression comes from? Where do you think anxiety comes from? Where do you think fear comes from? Where do you think all this perversion comes from? Where do you think pornography comes from? Where do you think all of these lusts and these issues come from? Why do you think all of a sudden people want to harm themselves? Why do you think that people all of a sudden want to go get drunk and trashed? And let me help you. The people at the party aren't the cool ones. They're the most depressed ones. And nobody wants to be there. And nobody's happy. And let me fast forward and tell you what their lives look like in their mid-20s. They are miserable. Their DNA changed. Sin changes your DNA. They hid from God. Turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Now, I love saying this. If you ever listen to my podcast or ever hear me preach, I always say this, but you can't just read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. And what I mean is, first you have to start reading the Bible, which most people don't do. But once you start reading the Bible, then you have to start paying attention to what you read. Because when you pay attention to what you read and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, he will. And that's what we call rhema or revelation. John chapter 1. says, as he went along, he found a blind man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked Rabbi, or Jesus, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither the man or his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. This is very important because he was born blind. You can't just read the Bible, you have to read the Bible, and nothing's in there by accident. So he's born blind. This has been an issue that he's had his entire life. Watch, his DNA structure is that he can't see. He's born blind. It's a genetic disorder. He's born blind. And his disciples said, who's got sin in their life that he's born blind? I love what Jesus said. He said, it's neither his parents or him, but this situation is happening so that God's glory can be revealed in his life. Guys, listen, you need to stop asking God, why did this happen to you? Why were you born in a dysfunctional family? Why did God allow you to go through this situation or that situation? Or how come you're here in your life? Because every situation is a situation for God's glory to be revealed in your life. So watch this. Can't just read the Bible, you have to. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground. He made mud. Could someone come up here and do an illustration with me? Just kidding. He spit on the ground with his saliva. He made mud, and he put it in the man's eyes. He told him to go wash in a pool. He washed in the pool, and he came out seeing. Jesus spit on the ground. Another translation says he spit in his eyes. The Bible's not contradicting itself. It's saying that Jesus spit, spat, hocked a loogie in the ground, and the spit from Jesus' mouth got right in this dude's face. I thought Jesus is love. No, Jesus spits on people. Now, do you ever wonder why Jesus does what he does? If you want your life with God to take off, start asking God these questions. Watch. In forensics, when they're trying to catch a criminal, is all they need, watch, is a piece of their DNA. And if they get a piece of their DNA, they can link them to the crime because the DNA proves who they are. So, listen. Joker's born blind, can't see, his DNA makeup is messed up, and Jesus spits on the ground with his spit, or watch, his DNA, and he takes his DNA and he puts it on him. And the guy comes out seeing or changed, watch, when he encounters heaven's DNA. We've become so focused on our sin, on our problems, on our mistakes, when the only thing you need is to encounter Jesus. And when you encounter Jesus, you receive his righteousness, watch, and his righteousness becomes your new DNA. Listen, we were born of sin, but when we ask Jesus to come into our heart to wash us, when we begin to pursue righteousness, to do what's right, to live according to God's word with everything in us, our entire DNA begins to change. That's why the Bible says that in Christ, we are a new creation. The old DNA is gone and heaven's DNA has come. Listen, the new creation is the righteous young person. That's what the DNA of heaven is. John chapter 3, I'm closing with this if the worship team wants to come back up to the stage. Just start playing that no sin, no shame. John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to be saved? And here's what Nicodemus said. He said, you must be born again. And he said, how can I go into my mom's womb and be born again? How can I get this new DNA? How can I be born again? How can I be someone else? And Jesus says, not born in the flesh again, but born in the spirit again. Listen, young person. I don't care if you were born attracted to the same sex. I don't care if you were born a liar. I don't care if you were born perverted. I don't care if you were born with foul mouth. I don't care your DNA structure. I don't care how you came up or why you became or when you started doing what you did or when you got your addiction or when you begin to get fake in church and put on a church face. But when you're out with your friends, you have that old DNA carnal cell face. It doesn't matter when you got it. But when you encounter Jesus is the moment that you're born again or born by the Spirit. When you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness and pursue righteousness, just like the blind man who encountered Jesus' DNA, something changes in your entire makeup and in your entire spirit. Heather, come stand with me real fast. The DNA of heaven is the DNA of righteousness. I got to meet one of the cool youth leaders last night. I think she's down at the college campus. And she told me, she said, I just recently got saved and got saved here in Elevate. She's like, I had a crazy past. And I said, that's nothing compared to my wife's. Everybody sees my wife and sees her minister, and she's writing her book and releasing it next year and prophetically ministers and travels the world with me, and we have these cute kids, and it looks like we have this cute family, because we do. But you have no idea where she came from. And when I describe my wife's testimony, she talks about her past like she's a different person, because her entire, watch, spiritual DNA was shifted.
I grew up in a divorced home. How many in here have divorced parents at home? Okay. So a lot more than what it was back in the day, but it's awful, first of all, growing up in a divorced home, especially with an experience like mine was. My mom was a young girl, fell in love with a bad boy, and my dad actually dealt drugs. And she ended up getting pregnant with me at 19. They got married to make it right and thought my dad would settle down, but it just got worse from drugs and dealing them, having drugs around us. I say us because my mom also got pregnant 2 years later with my little brother. And as she was pregnant with him, my dad was beating her and had to end up leaving and fleeing from my dad in our house with me 2 years old and a newborn. My brother is the newborn. And so I grew up with the fighting and the arguing and my dad with drugs in the house. And by the time I was 14 years old, obviously, there was no rules at my dad. So it seemed a lot cooler to want to be with my dad. And my mom couldn't deal with me anymore. So she said, fine, go live with your dad. By the time I was 15 years old, I was an alcoholic. I was drinking almost every single day. And I didn't just drink to have a few beers. I was young. So it was supposedly the cool thing to do until I was just completely plastered and couldn't remember anything. And I was doing that most nights. And by the time I was 16 years old, I was doing most hard drugs, from cocaine and ecstasy and all kinds of different pills and mixing them. And this anger that I had no clue where it come from, but how I grew up, was just thrusting me forward into this lifestyle to just go further and further and deeper into it. And until it came to one night, I was 17 years old, and I had been drinking and mixing drugs all night with friends, and we'd been going from party to party, and I ended up in an apartment one night, and the next thing I know, I'd blacked out. And I remember my best friend saying to me, "Are you okay, Heather?" And that was the last thing I remembered for 3 days. And he was worried about me. I was foaming at the mouth that night. And so he had told the guy that was driving the car, make sure you get her home. I'm really worried about her. But his house was first. So my best friend got dropped off first. Well, what my best friend didn't know is that guy that had been driving the car was the one that had been feeding me. He had all the drugs that night. And he had been giving me extra drugs that night. So he thought, this girl's dead. This is going to be on me. So he turned the car back down, headed back town, down towards downtown Seattle, which is where I lived in that area at the time. And he left me at an abandoned apartment complex. One of the doors was open, and he went in and left me just as trash and on the floor of one of those apartments. I still get emotional when I tell this part, because God is so good. I know I shouldn't be here today,
shouldn't be blessed with two little kids and a husband standing before you. Some of you come from the same types of situations. Some of you have never come from that situation, maybe like my husband. So I want to encourage you, because I did. I gained consciousness 3 days later. My mom brought me to the doctors. The doctors came in and said, "You're a walking dead woman. You have more drugs in your system than what should kill three grown men. You're a miracle." And I just sat in there weeping, knowing I shouldn't be there. But I want to encourage you, is if you haven't been in that type of a situation and you've grown up in church, maybe like my husband, I was the type of girl that most people, when I was actually brought to church, thought, oh, that's the popular girl. I would never go near her. I would never talk to her. She wouldn't accept me. But the truth is what he said, is I was one of the most broken in that place. And so sometimes we think, you know, I talked to some of you kids before the service tonight, that you think because you can't make friends or maybe you don't have the best clothes and stuff, that you're the one that's not accepted. But we have to remember that everybody that comes in here has a story. Everybody that comes in here has and is coming from a broken home or drugs or alcohol or death in a family or something. And I want to encourage you tonight. I didn't get to hear the whole message because I was in the back with my baby in the back. But Jesus will completely and completely transform you. We don't come here. It's cool to have our friends and to have groups and to have all that stuff. But let me encourage you, don't stop coming because you don't have friends, and don't just come here for your friends. You come here to enter a place of worship because you are worshiping something true and real. God is real. He is real, and there's a purpose and there's a call on each one of your lives. And if you would begin to, when you come into this place, forget about all of your worries, all of your cares, Jesus will completely transform your life. And what he was talking about, the DNA, is it's true, is I literally went from a drug addict, broken little girl, to completely on fire from God. I didn't go on any 7-step, 12-step, whatever program to get off of drugs. God completely transformed me. It was a couple months later, and on one of our dates, I met him 3 months after being on drugs. He said, "You're going to receive the gift of tongues tonight." I said, "No way." I was like, "That stuff is great." He's like, "No, you're going to." He sat in his car and prayed, and the presence of God filled the car, and I began to speak in tongues. And God completely transformed my life. And so I want to encourage you with that tonight, that I don't know what your reasoning is here. I don't know what background, what family you come from here. But don't come here just for friends, and don't stop coming because you don't. You come here for God. And if you come here for that reason, I promise you, he will use you to do incredible, incredible things.
Here's what happened to Heather, and here's what's going to happen to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the last scripture, it says, "And we with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image." I don't know if you have a story like Heather's, like a blind man's, what your DNA is tonight, but tonight, like Heather, like me, Pastor Waylon, like every one of these leaders, tonight I believe God wants to give you the DNA of heaven, the DNA of righteousness. Listen, I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what's going on in your life. Usher, come move this. But tonight, God is going to give you his DNA, and the only thing you have to do is accept Jesus and ask Jesus to come into you. If spit did it for a blind man, what could one prayer in his presence do for you tonight? Tonight, don't wait. We're not going to raise hands. I'm not counting to three. None of that stuff. If you say, "Landon, I want the DNA of heaven. I want the DNA of Jesus. I want the DNA of righteousness in my life," get down to this altar as fast as you can tonight. It's not a count to three. It's not a prayer. It's not a wait. Tonight, I'm looking for desperate young people that say, "I don't care who's around me, come on, all the way up to the front as fast as you can. Say, I want the DNA of heaven. I want God's DNA in my life. I want to be made, formed, renewed in the image of God. Turn this microphone up. Come on, start singing that no sin, no shame. Father, I declare right now tonight, Father, I pray, Lord, in your presence, Lord, that you begin to transform, Father, these young people into your perfect image, God. Father, I declare tonight in your presence, Lord, everything that they come in with, Lord, every way they were, the way they were born, the sin that they were struggling with, the addictions that they were struggling with, God, the shame they were struggling with, the sin that has been kept them in bondage. Father, tonight, Lord, I pray that heaven's DNA would come upon them in this moment. Father, I pray that you begin to renew and transform them with your power, with your presence, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, lift your hands, every single one of you. Say,
thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.